I'll be reading it as it appears there in the New King James, Psalm 27. The Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me, He shall set me upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. And do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost my heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want to call your attention especially to verse 4, where in the psalm David speaks about his greatest desire. It wasn't that he would be a mighty warrior or a great king. He didn't long for riches or power or glory. The one thing that he desires, as verse 4 says, is that he would enjoy the fellowship of God all the days of his life, that he would draw near to God in worship. He expresses this desire in the context, though, of really great opposition. There are enemies that he faced that were outside and enemies that were inside as well. Both threatened to separate David from that thing he desired, the desire to be able to come to God's house to worship Him and to enjoy fellowship with the Lord. The enemy without is pretty obvious in this psalm. It's the one that might prevent David from going up to the house of God because of warfare or because of opposition or because of the slander that they would bring against him. The inner enemy comes through especially in verse 11, where David asks for mercy. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. In saying this, David links together his own expression and his obedience with that of enemies. He links together knowing the Lord and doing what He commands as something of a threat. It's as if he were saying he is expressing his humble reliance upon the Lord in the midst of his learning obedience, learning to seek God out in mercy and in grace. With this in mind, let me call your attention to a couple of ways that David expresses this singular desire. David uses poetic language in verse 1, calling God his light and his salvation and his strength. And those are words that carry emotion with them. And There is poetry that is at work here. David's not writing a systematic theology. He's wanting to move you to see how desirable God is. So just think about how God is light in contrast to the darkness of our sin and the world around us. He is salvation, again, in contrast to the rebellion and the destruction that that brings upon us. And He is our strength, again, in contrast to the weakness of our own spirituality and our own souls. Because God is this, David could say, so if God is this way, if God is my light and my salvation, of whom will I fear? Of whom will I be afraid? I will not be afraid of the enemies without or the enemies within, because God is at work in all of these circumstances. Look as well at the poetry at verse 8. It expresses how he responds to God. He says, when you, God, say to me, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Many immediately ask God not to hide his face. Now, we know that God doesn't have a body. The children especially who have memorized the catechism, does God have a body? Well, no, God does not have a body like we do. He is spirit. But this is a poetic way to help us remember the relationship that we are brought into with God through Jesus Christ. It is as if we are face to face with Him. Think about your own personal relationships and how you can know that there's harmony in that relationship when you are together, you're in sync, you're face to face. And you know when that relationship is broken, when you can't stand to be in the same room. Or when you've offended someone and they turn away from you in anger. As a child, you might think of your parents and ask them, don't turn away in anger. I do repent of my sins. Restore the love that you have for me. And that's what David says. As God invites, seek my face, David gives his profession of faith. I will seek your face, O God. This longing that David expresses here points especially to Jesus Christ. The Son of God became man so that there can be renewed relationship with a God that we have offended because of our sins. We can know the Father because the Son came to reveal Him. And it's in this way that David points forward to Jesus. The last thing I'll call your attention to is back in verses 4 and 5. Again, just the beautiful poetry that is here. David speaks about going to worship, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, I'm not much to look at, so this is an easy illustration to make. You're not here to look at me. You're here to behold the beauty of God. To gaze on what He has done and to marvel at the awesome nature of our God and what He has done for us. And that's what David's expressing here. This is what he longs for, to spend his entire life in this type of fellowship. That he would have the opportunity to go each week to the house of God and to think about what God has done, to worship our great God, to praise Him for the salvation He has given through Jesus Christ. And so he closes this psalm by saying, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We are here to consider the beauty of our God. And we'll do so by singing to Him. We'll sing the second section of this psalm. This is the part that expresses that earnest desire, the one thing that David wants. Psalm 27, selection B, please stand to praise God.